The ox might be broke, but you won't be when you do your holiday shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your holiday shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon in the U.S. and robhasawebsite.com/Amazon CA for our listeners in Canada. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now he is the guy who's about to get plowing. Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Amazing Race for Hap-Up show on Friday night, episode number 10 of Amazing Race 25. And here is the woman who does not put up with any ox poop. Here she is. It's Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty great, Rob.
Yeah,
that was quite the episode we just saw.
Yes, very good episode, but a non-elimination leg as we predicted, Jess. And so this really sets the stage, a table setter episode for the final four. Last two Friday nights of Amazing Race should be a really fun finish.
Yeah, you got to have those episodes where you put all of the pieces in place.
Yeah. So all the pieces are in place. The table is set for what should be a photo finish, if it's anything like tonight's episode. All four teams at the mat at the same time. Jess, I feel like this rarely happens in a season of Amazing Race where you have everybody on this mat at the same time with Phil.
Yeah, well, it happened. We saw it once last season, pretty early on, where just about everybody was within a minute of each other.
Yeah. Well, this was the final four teams and everybody's ready to go here. It's anybody's race.
Yeah, I think it really is.
Yeah.
And I think any of these outcomes could be satisfying.
Yeah, and it was a night where the bottom two teams ended up, the two teams that were out in front ended up coming in last. So it was a exciting night and really did, there's a narrative I think almost anybody could win at this point.
Yeah. It's actually 2 weeks in a row now that the teams that were out in front at the beginning ended up at the back of the pack.
Okay, so we'll talk about it all here tonight live. Of course, we're going to be taking your questions here along the way. We've got the chat room open on robhasawebsite.com. We are also monitoring your tweets, hashtag RHAP. Mark Solera is taking over for Scott St. Pierre tonight. It's a takeover, and he is going to be following your questions as well as on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, I had my exit interview with the cyclist Kim and Allie this week.
Yeah, I heard. They were a great interview. I'm hoping we can get them back next season.
Yeah, they were fun, but they were like ready to jump down my throat about like, so you don't want to get a beer with me? And I'm like, did I say that? I don't remember what I say on all the podcasts, but I'm like, did I say, was there another team I said I wanted to get a beer with, Jess?
Well, apparently I didn't remember this either. I had to ask the Twitterverse, but I know that I would like to get a beer with this person is something that I say fairly frequently because I like beer. So it's not out of the realm of possibility I would have brought this up on a podcast. And it turns out someone said they think that there was an episode in which we were talking about who of the teams left we'd most like to have a beer with. And I said Kim and Allie, and you said the wrestlers.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry. Yeah, but I had to pick one team. How many beers am I going to have?
Well, I could probably down four, so I could have a beer with each of the teams left.
Jess, I can't hold my liquor like I used to.
It's a hazard of getting old.
And not drinking that much. I think that's all a hazard. All right. So we will go ahead and talk about it all. The leg went to the Philippines tonight. We had a throwback to the My Ox is Broken challenge, all sorts of stuff. Jess, what's the top headline for you tonight?
Top headline for me is probably the triumphant return of the broken ox.
Yes. Did you need the ox, really? I mean, did it seem like the teams were finding the clue there by using the ox?
Well, the previous time we saw it, you pretty much had to have the ox to find it. But it looked like in every case, the ox had something to do with teams finding the clue.
Yes. So, and you felt it was that way tonight?
Yeah, I think so. Even the teams that found it, like when it wasn't next to the ox, they found it because the ox pulled up the rope.
Yeah. I wonder if you were better off just like splitting up, letting the ox do whatever it was going to do and just like kicking your feet.
Well, the ox would probably leave the area, which he did last time.
Yes. And then so what?
Then the clue, I don't know, the clue's in the area.
Yeah.
You need the ox to kick it up.
I mean, but it seemed like from the way that once they found that, like, oh, it's like tied to rope, then it was like it was easy to find that it was like configured to a rope that was an X.
No, the rope is kind of buried under everything. You can't really pick it out immediately.
Got it. So you needed the ox to upset the rope and then you could find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I really couldn't believe Brooke and Robbie screwed that up so badly on picking like the biggest lake to go with the oxen.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, the biggest anything, if you have an area in which to do something and it's a race challenge, you got to assume that you want the smallest possible area.
Yeah, they were just like the team that was like, oh, my God, we're in first place. We're in first place. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We don't know what to do. And they just totally like freaked out.
Yeah, some teams are just not comfortable with success.
Yeah, they're better off drifting.
Yeah, I think they've coasted in the middle of the pack pretty much this entire race. And I think it might have even freaked them out a little bit to be in first place.
Are you buying a Brooke and Robbie winner's edit? I know all season long on Survivor, we've talked about this winner's edit. Jess, how do you feel about the winner's edit on The Amazing Race?
I thought we didn't believe in the winner's edit.
I think that sometimes there is a winner's edit and sometimes there's not a strong winner's edit. And then people try to shoehorn it in after the fact where they say, oh, well, this was where Sophie's winner edit was. But when the season was happening, people weren't saying Sophie had a winner's edit, stuff like that. So yeah. Sometimes I think there is an obvious winner's edit on The Amazing Race. Is there always a winner's edit on The Amazing Race?
I don't think there always is. I think sometimes it's easier to tell a story than it is other times. Like this past season of Amazing Race Canada, about three episodes from the end, there started to be a very, very strong winner's edit.
Yeah.
And there was one team that was kind of underdogs, but we started hearing more about what they would do with the money and how much they needed it and how great they were to each other. And you didn't see the other teams doing this. But I think the editing has been very, very even-handed on this particular season. And I don't think I can point to any one team that I think is definitely going to take it all home.
I would say of the four teams left, I feel like three of them have been edited in a positive light. And the only one that I feel like I would be surprised if they won based on the edit is Brooke and Robbie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Although Brooke and Robbie, they've had a lot of screen time, which usually leads to like they're going far, but they're not going all the way.
Yeah, because the way that they've been depicted this season, they really have lived up to being the ugly Americans really at every turn. And tonight might have been the worst instances of that.
Yeah, they were all over the map this week. Like they had these moments of being totally grossed out by the developing country. And then you also had these moments of Brooke being like almost manic about being excited to do tasks. So I'm not sure, like somewhere in the middle is a team that's got a rational head, but we're not seeing it from the wrestlers.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. They did do a good job getting out in front and being the only team to select the fish task, which it seemed like, even though that was incredibly difficult, I think that played to their strong suits of just being physically strong rather than the other task of putting the sidecar on the motorcycle. But really, I mean, at least half a dozen times, Brooke was complaining about how bad the Philippines smelled, which is probably not what you want to do.
No, that's not particularly respectful to the country that's welcoming you.
Yes. And Jess, if the Travelocity gnome is telling you, hey, go smell the roses, then isn't that a bad idea? Aren't you going against the Travelocity gnome's wishes?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta heed the gnome.
Heed the gnome. That's right. That's right, Brooke. So, yeah, get your act together. Stop it. Start heating.
Yeah. Incidentally, the Travelocity Roaming Gnome live tweets The Amazing Race, and he's hilarious.
Yes. Has he said anything of note this season?
He tweeted a picture of the ox this episode. And I can't remember. He said something that was very funny.
Yeah.
I can't remember what precisely.
So it wasn't that memorable, but it was good.
No.
All right. Let's talk through the episode a little bit. And again, a couple of interesting things here along the way. I wanted to ask you about this coming out of the booking of the plane tickets. And I know this is something that comes up every season at some point. Is it better, Jess, to go to the airport or to go to the travel agency? And is there a hard and fast rule about this?
There is no hard and fast rule about this, but it absolutely depends on what country you're in. Because in some countries, going to the travel agency is something you even need to do. In some countries, it's going to be faster to get it through a travel agent. And in some countries, a travel agent is only going to slow you down and you should really just go straight to the airline.
How do you know when to do what?
You don't, really. You kind of have to have a feel for it. I mean, I think the clue usually tells you if you have to go to a travel agent or someone tells you at some point. But it really, I don't see any common thread, actually.
Okay. Because Jim and Misty ended up screwing this up. However, it ends up not really biting them in the butt. And they made making a big deal about it on the show. Like, oh my God, Jim and Misty made a mistake. The dentist made a mistake. We're going to take advantage of their mistake. And then they all get to the clue and it's like, come back at 6:30.
Yeah. But you know, a shorter lag time between two flights has spelled much worse problems for racers in the past. So I think they were right to consider that it might be a factor. But when you look at the time that you're arriving in a country, and if you're arriving in a country late at night, you're probably not going to be racing right away.
That's right. Because basically the crew doesn't want to work in the middle of the night, right?
Right. And they occasionally do have night legs. Like if they're in a big city that is famous for having some aspect of night life or night culture, like Hong Kong is a popular one. You have any place that's got a night market. Those are ones, like if they direct you to something that's got night in the name, then you probably are going to be racing right away. But if you're supposed to go to a church or a market at 11 p.m., yeah, you're probably not racing immediately.
Okay. So take a look at those clues and figure out whether it's going to be a nighttime thing or a daytime thing. That's good. That should be part of hashtag read your clue.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write that one down in the JL rules.
Put it in the JL rules. Okay. All right. So then the next part of this is, so they end up going ahead and they get the next clue. Actually, before that, I want to talk about at the airport, Brooke and Robbie and the scientists. And we saw last week, we expected there to be some fireworks coming into this episode, right, Jess?
Yeah, like someone was going to get snippy about that because they were both pretty mad at each other at the end of the leg.
Yeah, because for scientists, they were pretty gullible scientists tonight.
Yeah, they did not seem to catch on that they were given the wrong directions intentionally.
Yeah, they were like, hey, Brooke and Robbie, what gives? That you guys lied to us? Like, oh, we thought you were asking us something different.
Yeah, I mean, given what they do for a living, the professional wrestlers, I would immediately suspect of making a heel turn.
Yes, yes. Good job on the wrestling vernacular, Jess.
Yeah, I get a good sports metaphor in there every so often.
Very good. Or sports entertainment.
Yes. Sports, yeah. Yes. Semi-candid reality programming.
Yeah. And so they're just like, oh, no, we don't even know what you're talking about. And they're like, oh, okay, good. Well, we were scared for a second because we thought you were trying to screw us over.
Yeah, but on the other hand, like, what good does it do the scientists to be pissed off about that and to hold a grudge? Like, at this point, nobody's really helping each other out through the final stretch. And it's if they end up stewing about it the whole time, like, I can't believe they did that and they're so terrible and they're going to end up distracting themselves. They're going to take their eyes off the prize, and that's never good.
I'll tell you what good TV.
Yeah,
I like good TV. Do you like good TV? You want good TV?
I love good TV, Rob.
Okay.
But there's, you know, any team that goes in there wanting to be good TV before wanting to win $1 million, those teams very rarely win $1 million.
Yeah. And it's an interesting dichotomy between Maya and Brooke. And I noticed this a lot during the episode where Maya is almost like, oh my God, I can't believe where we are. This is amazing. I love this country. This is great. This is great. And Brooke is like, oh my God, I hate this. This is terrible. I hate this. This is the worst. This is the worst. You know, you have one person who's the ultimate optimist, sees the bright side of everything. And then you have Brooke, who is like totally bitter throughout this entire race and hates everything. Everything is the worst. I can't believe we're doing this. This smells terrible. And there were just two polar opposites this season.
Yeah, the only thing that could make that better is if they were on the same team.
Yeah, that would be a good cross-up on an all-star season. Have Maya and Brooke on the same team.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I would watch
that. Does that leave Amy and Robbie?
I would watch that, too.
Yeah. Do you love the enthusiasm for Maya?
I do. Like, Maya just, like, she charms me endlessly. Because she's so excited about everything. And I like to think that that would be me, just wanting to see everything and do everything. And oh my God, we're actually on the Amazing Race. She really puts the right amount of reverence for the program into everything she does.
How could anybody be that excited about everything, though?
It's a race around the world. How could you not?
I guess so. I guess so. She's very excited. She's very excitable. Okay. All right. So anyway, they have to go ahead after they do that and after they get the clue and we get to our detour of catch or coach, be a fisherman or assemble a sidecar. Actually, before we get to that, we have to go ahead and go on. What do they call those? Tripods? Tricycles?
Tricycles. Yeah, they're motorized tricycles.
Yeah. And we had a little bit of Amy and Maya not remembering to read the clue and the other teams yelling at them and they're not even realizing that they didn't read the clue.
Yeah. And then they were appropriately chastened.
Yeah. And they figured it out. All right. So, Jess, of these two tasks, what would you have gone with on the detour?
Well, it looked to me, and this is something that totally flummoxed me because it again goes against something that Jim said they were going to do the entire race, which was if there's a task that's like physical but not strategic, and that's probably going to be finished in a fixed amount of time versus something that's very technical with a lot of detail, you could be there all day. So I think I'd be inclined to go for the fish.
Yeah, it seemed like on face value, though, they were both sort of like physical tasks. Like one was like putting something together and the other was like going ahead and carrying something heavy. But it wasn't like, you know, one was like dancing or like learn a song or anything like that. So I feel like in Jim's mind, they were both somewhat physical tasks.
Yeah, that's possible. But it really seemed like the fish task was something that, as long as it's not totally physically impossible to do, which some tasks have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just seemed like something that theoretically everyone could do without having to impress a judge.
Jess, would you go fishing with a laundry basket?
I think it depends on the fish, but sure, I'd give it a shot.
I feel like I could do that. I feel like that would be good on Survivor to have a laundry basket. That would have been a good luxury item when you used to have a luxury item.
Yeah, well, didn't they always, like, they used to have, like, a Survivor fishing derby? Wasn't that your season where they had the Survivor Fishing Derby as one of the challenges?
Yeah, well, we had to catch piranhas.
Yes.
But you wouldn't want to get in the water with the laundry basket with the piranhas.
No, you definitely don't want a laundry basket full of piranhas.
Yeah. And so anyway, Brooke and Robbie, they were moving right along and they were doing a good job. And then the rain started to come down.
Yeah, but it looked like instead of Brooke just like breaking down about it, it really galvanized them to finish faster.
Yeah, for once they weren't complaining and they ended up like really like pulling out the stops to get through the rainstorm.
Yeah, Brooke seemed like she was really excited about this task, like more than Robbie, which was different.
Yeah, how funny were they with the fish that were allegedly biting them?
That was pretty funny. I liked that. I loved how grossed out Robbie was by the fish.
Yeah, he was very grossed out by the fish. And I also liked that when the person that was like counting the fish, we've seen it all season long where Robbie does the thing where he sucks the kneecaps of the person who's the judge. And
yes,
he's like, okay, well, here's all the fish over here. And he was like, I think all these fish are so nice and such wonderful fish. Yeah, I think Brooke called him ridiculous.
I was hoping for him to do this with the ox, too.
You wanted him to kiss up to the ox?
Yes.
What would he say to the ox?
you know, you're the most beautiful, smartest ox in the world. And I know you're going to help us find this clue and you're going to be so good at this task. And I know you're awesome ox and you can pet him and, you know, lead him around. And
no, well, we found out from Brooke that Robbie has issues with animals.
Yeah.
He does not like animals.
Doesn't like fish. Doesn't like oxen.
He doesn't want anything to do with animals. Is he afraid of animals?
That's possible. I mean, we saw him. He hasn't totally come unglued around animals. We've had plenty of animals this season.
No animal at the pit stop.
Yeah, but there was an animal in the show. So we'll take that for what it's worth.
Okay. All right. So you think that maybe that it, at the final pit stop, there will be, what animal did you see in each country?
That's what everybody is saying. And you know how I feel about everybody trying to piece together the memory challenge. It's been 25 seasons. It gets a little old.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the sidecar challenge. And it really seemed like it looked like Jim was going to blow a gasket at some point.
Yeah, well, that would be appropriate considering he's dealing with all these motorcycles.
There you go. That's right. That's right. And Jim was just like, oh, I think I must just need to like tighten one thing and then I'll be good. And didn't realize that he was shocked to see that he didn't attach both of the shocks.
It was simply shocking.
It was very shocking for Jim. Altogether, the Maya and Amy, they got it together. Did you know that that Maya has put together a homogenizer before?
Yeah, and a wardrobe.
Yeah, look at her.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, putting together a wardrobe is kind of like when you go into a musical instrument challenge saying that you can play your stereo, but...
Yeah.
Every little advantage. You
know? Every little bit helps. And Adam and Bethany, they went through the sidecar challenge also. Bethany put the hippie stuff on the car. There you go.
Yep, I guess that fits their attitude.
Yeah. Anything with a peace sign, that's going to pull in Bethany.
Yeah, well, they're very laid back. They want you all to chill out and be peaceful.
Yeah. So as they're putting all of the car parts together on the motorcycle, what do you think of Jim's euphemism here or his analogy? Okay, he says, that's tight like a fat girl's sock. I've never heard that expression before.
Did Jim make a cankles joke?
Jim, that's not, I suspect.
Is Jim a fat shamer? What's up with that, man?
I suspect that Jim has very tight socks.
Yeah, well, if he's got a very tight compression shirt there. So.
Yeah, tight like a fat girl's sock. I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that either. I mean, I'm learning all kinds of new vocabulary this season.
And that's very insensitive, Jim.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Jim, I think we need to give you some sensitivity training.
Yeah. What about, like, that's tight like Shaquille O'Neal's sock?
Okay.
Upgrade.
Why would he have tight socks?
Because he has large feet.
But doesn't he get custom-made socks?
I have no idea.
He's a millionaire. He should be able to wear whatever he wants.
Maybe he has Bombas. Yeah, they come in his perfect size. So, yeah, we don't know who has tight socks. Maybe somebody... this is tight socks like the person who just had a growth spurt.
Tight socks like someone with gout.
Yeah, that's tight like Shari Lewis's sock.
I like that one. That's good.
You're wearing it on the wrong part of your body. Okay.
Are her hands much bigger than her feet?
I have no idea. Tight like when Shaquille O'Neal borrows lamb chop.
There we go. I think that's the winner.
What do you think of Bethany calling herself hashtag grease monkey?
I liked that she was like assigning roles through this whole thing. Like she's going to be the assistant and he's going to be the muscle. And she seemed to have a great time with this, like almost rivaling Maya in terms of enthusiasm.
Yes, she was excited. Excited because she didn't really have to do anything.
Yeah, she could just supervise.
She was supervising. All right. Then Brooke and Robbie are the first person to get to the ox challenge, the switchback. Jess, set the stage for the switchback.
All right. So the switchback takes us all the way back.
Not the guy
five.
From Survivor Know-It-Alls.
No, that's a fishback.
Got it. And who got the fishy tonight?
I don't think I'm licensed to give out fishies.
It wasn't Brooke and Robbie?
Well, they got many, many fishies.
Okay.
And I don't want to get sued, man.
All right, don't get sued.
I don't want none of that fishback wrath.
Yes.
So season 5, they were in the Philippines. It was actually, I believe it was the final four. It was either the final 5 or final 4. Someone's going to jump down my throat about this. But they went to this exact place and had these oxen. They may have even been the exact same oxen. And there was a guy on that race named Colin. And he was there with his then girlfriend, Christy. And amazingly, they've stayed together. They have kids and everything. But Colin was very high strung. The entire race, like, he was just like coming unglued at everything. And there were a couple of moments where he'd just like scream at everybody. He was super intense and they had won a lot of legs. They were going to go far, but the ox did not like Colin at all. And it would not cooperate with him. It wouldn't do anything he told it to do. And it was just like a battle of wills. Ox would run out of the little lake area and it would go everywhere. And
they can run?
This ox was running.
Okay.
So finally, Colin's ultimate expression of despair and frustration was, my ox is broken. This is bullshit. And this has become the number one most famous phrase in Amazing Race history. Someone wrote a book about the Amazing Race and called it My Ox is Broken. Like, the website Television Without Pity sold t-shirts that said My Ox is Broken. This is legendary in the annals of Amazing Race history. And I can't believe it took them 20 seasons to bring it back, to be honest.
Okay, well, and it happened in the Philippines?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Do you like that when we go back to iconic locations that we do the same challenges again?
Yeah, I don't want them to just bring back any old random challenge because they can't think of something else. Like, when they did the switch back to the ditch jumping, it was like, I barely even remember that happening the first time. That's not necessary. But something like the Wheel of Cheese that they resurrected, in, I think, season 18. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember right now. But the Broken Ox is one that definitely I could stand to see return.
Okay. So you want to see only these challenges that are iconic in the specific location that they were first made iconic. Like on Big Brother every summer, we see the same challenges over and over again. On Survivor, like, doesn't only, oh, this challenge was big in Survivor China, we won't do it again until we go back to China or anything like that. But you like this on The Amazing Race.
Well, we're talking about two separate things that I like, I think. I like it when they bring back iconic challenges, and I like it when the tasks all reflect the area in which they're doing the tasks. Like, I don't just want them to do a random thing in a random country. Like, I want it to have some connection to the local area, and I think this ox hits both marks.
I got it. All right, so Jess, the way that this episode started to wind up, I saw you tweeting about this at like 8:49, saying like, how is this episode going to work out because nobody's made it to the mat yet? I don't even think Phil announced that, like, whoever is going to go ahead and get the clue, go through the rice paddies, and they'll be the first team to arrive.
And whoever reaches the pit stop last may be eliminated.
Maybe eliminated.
Maybe.
We didn't fall for it.
No, not us.
Not us. Not us. So anyway, Brooke and Robbie, they started off. They said, let's get plowing.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Plow is Robbie.
That name again is Mr. Plow.
Yeah.
How do you think Jason and Amy would have done at this?
Oh, Jason would have been fantastic.
Oh, he's a plow master.
Yes. Now, Brooke and Robbie, they were having a problem with their oxen because they had gotten an oxen which had probably had a little too much to eat, seemingly, because this was a major concern with the oxen.
I think he's about to poop.
Yes, he's pooping.
They do that. They're livestock. That was not, by the way, it was not an entire lake made out of ox poop.
How do you know?
Because it's a rice paddy. You know, rice grows in dirt and water and things that are not poop.
Yeah.
I'm sure it didn't hurt the growth any because, you know, it's fertilizer. But, you know, that was not just an entire lake of poop because that would have been even more entertaining.
Does the oxen, like, live in there? Or do they have to bring it into that pool every day?
No, the ox lives in a a pen, I'm sure, or a barn. And he just goes to work there.
He goes to work there. So Ox punches in, punches out, and then back in the barn.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, the barn is part of the benefits package.
Yes. All right. So Brooke and Robbie, they were struggling. Then all the teams got there.
Yep.
And
everybody showed up and everybody surpassed them.
Everybody surpassed them. Who was having the most problems with the Ox this season?
Jim was having a lot of trouble with the Ox.
Yeah, Jim's Ox looked like he was trying to escape into another course.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was Colin's Ox. Maybe they returned the same Ox.
You'd like to think he's still out there?
Yeah, I think he's out there, like, just messing with people all day, every day.
Plowing the fields.
Yep.
So who got the clue first, Jess?
Who got the clue first? I believe that I have this written down.
Was the scientists?
No, I think Misty and Jim actually got the clue first, but the scientists were like a minute later.
Okay, they got it, and they got it, and there was a foot race between those teams, right?
Yep.
Okay, and ultimately, Jim and Misty end up winning, and Jim starts talking about his thumb. His thumb is alive.
Well, yeah, because he had 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's the thumb.
Yeah.
I guess so.
He was really pumped up about his thumb.
Yeah, I mean, usually they're pumped up about the teeth, but this week it's the thumb.
Because going back to, I believe it was in episode 7, this is what Jim said was coming. He said that he told Phil to...
Well, watch out for the thumb. It's coming soon.
Yeah, watch out for the thumb. It's coming soon. And then there it was.
And indeed, thumb came.
There you go. You go, watch out for Jim's thumb.
I do all the time.
Okay.
And I'm not watching out for his eyes and his teeth.
Yeah, there you go. And then
his biceps.
Yeah, watch out for
his swollen socks.
Yes. Watch out for everything and his teeth. Okay. So then ultimately we had a second foot race also, Brooke and Robbie versus Adam and Bethany. Brooke and Robbie did the thing where they dropped the bags. I like that.
Yeah, that always makes for a dramatic finish.
Yeah. And so ultimately, Brooke and Robbie get to the mat last, and Phil tells them they're not eliminated. And Phil says, it wouldn't have been fair to eliminate you because it was that close.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Yeah.
He does that to everybody.
Yeah.
It would have been perfectly fair, and he would have delighted in doing it if it hadn't been non-elimination.
Yes, that would be plenty fair. It'd be plenty fair. Okay, so Jess, now we head into the final four. And now somebody is going home next Friday. Somebody is winning the Amazing Race 2 weeks from tonight. So tell me who, based on what you've seen this week, is most likely to go home this week. All the teams are basically in a flat-footed tie to start off this next leg.
Yeah, and I think what we see next week is probably going to be shocking.
Shocking?
Like, I don't think we're going to see the expected final three.
Okay, so you feel like Amy and Maya will advance.
I think Amy and Maya will probably advance because I don't, I'm not sure there's really a winner's edit on any of these teams, but they had a very strong leg this week, and they did start kind of talking about, you know, they're the underdogs and they really want to win and they want to be the third all-female winners. And they're talking a lot about winning for a team that's never won a leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're in that spot. They haven't won a leg.
On the other hand, if a team is winning a lot of legs and keeps talking about winning, usually that doesn't bode well for them. So we could see Jim and Misty going out.
Wow. Jim and Misty not being in the final three. I mean, what an upset that would be if they end up getting eliminated next week. And also the save is no longer in play.
Right, right. And wouldn't that be good TV?
It would be. It would be, certainly. And so you would end up having Jim and Misty and the cyclists, two out of the top three teams that we said were probably locks for the final three, not in the final three.
Yeah, and we would have to turn in our professional race predictor cards.
Yes, well, mine's already lapsed.
Well, you need to get on that, man.
Jess, okay, so what's your official power rankings?
My official power rankings, and again, you know, I hate doing power rankings in a show where everybody finishes in an order at the end of the show.
That's right.
That's hard to do because you end up just spitting out like, you know, da, 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 da. Like, you know, it's
well,
really
do you have
say.
Jim and Misty as number one?
Yeah, it's very easy to say Jim and Misty are number one because they won the leg.
That would be easy, but that's not what I'm asking you. I don't want the easy answer. I want the right answer, Jess.
Oh, man, this is a lot of pressure.
I would have, in my power rankings,
okay,
I would have Adam and Bethany number one.
Yeah, I think Adam and Bethany are still probably running the most mistake-free race. I think that's fair.
I think they've been consistent all the way through. Didn't get too high, didn't get too low. Give me Adam and Bethany.
Yeah, and then I put Jim and Misty maybe behind them.
Yes.
Because they are winning a lot, but they're making mistakes.
Jim and Misty. And then the question is it Brooke and Robbie or is it the Sweet Scientists? And I'm going to put the wrestlers ahead of the scientists.
Okay.
Now, I miss a memo? Did they get changed from the Sweet Scientists to the Candy Girls? Why are they hashtag Candy Girls?
Because they were nicknamed that by another team earlier in the race.
But Phil calls them that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't Phil get on the page with the hashtag? Shouldn't there be some synergy here at CBS?
You know. Survivor Nicaragua, there was a guy that started out the race. He started out the game and his name was Judd. And by episode 3, Jeff Probst was calling him Fabio.
Yeah.
It's the same thing at play here. The nickname gets bestowed on somebody and it sticks really hard.
But we can't get the publicity department in the beginning of the season to just call them Candy Girls? Or is that insulting to call them Candy Girls since they are women and scientists?
I think that might be what was going on there. Same thing like my alma mater, we don't call it a girls' school. We call it a women's college. And people get very sensitive about it.
Okay, people get sensitive. All right, so we want to be correct to these the Amy and Maya and their accomplishments.
And we also don't want to get New Edition stuck in our head all day, all week long.
Why, you don't like that song?
It's kind of an earworm.
Okay, all right, well, we'll stay away from it. All right. Jess, I want to get to some of the questions here tonight live, but I want to thank our sponsor for this episode of the Amazing Race podcast, and those are our friends over at Hulu Plus, because when you're ready to start binge plowing through all of the fall TV, Jess, you're not going to need a water ox. You're just going to need Hulu Plus.
But can I have a water ox if I want one?
You're not going to want one when you see all of the amazing fall TV shows that are available on Hulu Plus, because right now the weather is cold, but the TV shows are hot on Hulu Plus, where you could watch the full season of shows like Sleepy Hollow, Bob's Burgers, Once Upon a Time, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Revenge, Mindy Project, and Modern Family.
That's a lot of hot TV.
It's a lot of hot TV. And have I mentioned that you could even go back and watch the Switchback and go see what Colin was doing with the ox that was broken?
Yeah, if you want to see what that challenge looks like when there's a lot of tension and drama, I think that's where to go.
Yeah. So go ahead and check that out. Now, I know you've probably watched Hulu on your computer, but Hulu Plus is much more, because Hulu Plus lets you watch every episode of shows like South Park, Family Guy, America's Next Top Model, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives of Orange County, New Jersey, Beverly Hills, New York, and Atlanta. So many cities of the Real Housewives.
And I got to say that smart TV thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Like, you put Hulu Plus up on your smart TV, it's like you're in the future.
Yeah, because it works with, in addition to smart TVs, Rokus, Apple TV, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, pretty much any streaming device you already own. And with Hulu Plus, you're in total control to stream as much as you want, whenever you want. Binge watch all the shows you're behind on for just $7.99 a month. Watch all your fall shows anytime, anywhere. And we're giving you guys a great deal, only a 2-week free trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob for the listeners of Rob as a podcast. 2 weeks is better than one. Go to HuluPlus.com/Rob and get an extra free week. You'll get a great deal and it helps support the podcast at HuluPlus.com/Rob for your 2-week free trial of the Hulu Plus. All right, so let's go ahead. Mark has been sending me all of your questions and we're going to go ahead and I can't bring them up on the screen. We're having some tech issues, but I've got them all on my laptop here, Jess. All right. Here is a question from I'm Drunker Than Moses. I'm not drunker than Moses. That's the name of the person that's asking the question.
How drunk is Moses?
Well, he was in the desert for a long time. Probably got like punch drunk.
Okay.
I'm drunker than Moses. Amy and Maya tonight at the start of the episode, we are the underdogs. And at the end was the only team edited in when Phil said, who's going to win? And they said, we'll be the third female team to win. Is this foreshadowing of their eventual win or just a clever editing trick? Jess, is this the winner's edit for the sweet scientists?
I think that theory's got legs. It's looking good because it's very, very similar to what Amazing Race Canada did this summer.
Wow.
So don't count them out. That's all I'm saying.
Not counting out the scientists. Boy, Jess, could you imagine Maya if she won the Amazing Race?
I think she might shatter glass.
I think she might spontaneously combust.
Yeah, I didn't hear any reports of an explosion on Amazing Race finale day. So
does Amy get all the money then if Maya spontaneously combusts when she wins?
Maybe that's why she chose Maya as her partner.
It's a good move. That's a good move. All right. Here's a question from Jordan R18. Wants to say, what do you think about the dentist edit? They started off as arrogant, then became more humble after their last place finish. Do you feel like they're being portrayed as likable now?
Well, I would definitely buy a sort of redemption arc for them. So maybe it's the dentists that are getting the winner's edit.
Boy, so are you on board that three of the four teams can win? Brooke and Robbie cannot. They will not. We will not see Brooke and Robbie win the Amazing Race based on their edit.
Not unless Brooke and Robbie do something amazing in the next leg. And everybody is immediately like flabbergasted by how selfless and loving and open-minded and how much they've learned. If they do a total character 180 in the next leg, they could still win it. But given what we've seen so far, I don't think they can.
I don't think so. From Jer Martin says, so the race comes to an end soon. What's been the hardest challenge of the season, Jess?
Well, there were a couple of challenges that just had a trick to them that were tough. I think the Shetland ponies were kind of tough. I think the you know, mini park task was really tough because there's that one tiny detail. And if you picked the wrong set, you were going to be there for a while.
Mm-hmm. What about the treasure chest on the first episode?
Treasure chest was pretty hard. It was physically tough and it was mentally tough.
Yeah, because it was a compass that was upside down.
Yeah, and people complained the hardest about the fresco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to say that one's probably up there.
Okay, Nick 2S wants to say, was it a net positive for both teams that the sweet scientists and wrestlers didn't butt heads when the lie was lied about just for being a misunderstanding? So was that a win-win for them?
I guess. Like, it doesn't seem like there was much downside. Like, they kind of both just walked away from it.
But Amy and Maya weren't like, we know what they did, but we're not going to let them know we know what happened. You know, it was just like, oh, okay, because we thought you guys were trying to screw us over. And they're like, no. Oh, you thought that we would get out of town. Why would we?
Yeah, but what is the benefit of Amy and Maya being suspicious of Brooke and Robbie at this point? Like, what is that gain?
They make sure they don't get duped again.
Yeah, well, they can not get duped again without like putting in their face.
Yeah, but we didn't see a confessional where they were like, we know that they lied to us.
That's true.
I want
to see. That could mean one of two things. That could mean it's just not a big deal, or it could mean that they're going to get duped again.
Yeah. Like,
which
you
would be good television.
That would be good also. Yeah. You want to be strategically like, oh, we're going to let them think that they got one over on us, but we know what they did so that they, you know, then, you know, they're not going to see it coming when we get them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, or maybe like by the time they got through everything that happened that day, when they got to the confessional place, maybe they just didn't want to talk about it anymore because it was over and they'd done so many other cool things.
All right, here's a question from Jer Martin again, wants to know, will the tension between the candy girls and the wrestlers come back again? It was good TV last week, but this week it was totally gone. We want more drama. I did feel like this week we had a step backwards in the drama department after last week's best episode of the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, this felt like a major downgrade. Like, it was kind of I was waiting for interesting things to happen. And then I looked at the clock and it was 8:50 and nothing interesting had happened.
Yeah.
So I guess they can't all be barn burners, but this one, it's almost like over at previously.tv, the column I write is under this rubric of watch/skip. So you have your DVR and you can say like which parts you want to watch and which parts you don't. And I'd almost like rate everything in this episode a skip.
Yeah, it was just like we said in the early on in this podcast, it was a table setter episode.
Yeah, it's just putting the chess pieces in place for the final showdown.
Yeah, it was like the episode of Walking Dead from 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it was.
Do you watch that?
No.
Okay. All right, you'll take my word for it, though.
Yeah, I you're the TV expert, Rob. You know more about TV than anyone I know.
I appreciate that, but I don't know if that's accurate. You should talk to Josh Wigler sometime.
Okay. You are the person who knows the second most about TV.
All right. I'll take it. All right. So this is from Jean-Paul Patilos, says on Twitter, the ox they used is actually called Calabaw in Filipino, which was the red tribe in Survivor Philippines, which is the same season that Jonathan Penner in the final three, I'm going to spoil Survivor Philippines for people. Jonathan Penner in the final three said that Denise used Mike Scoopin and Lisa Welchel as oxen. He said, you were like oxen that Denise drove.
That was the story that he was telling.
That was the story he was telling.
That's what he does.
And Denise at no point was like, my ox is broken.
Nope. That ox got her all the way to the end. There's nothing wrong with that ox.
Mike Scoopin was saying, do your research. Do your research. All right. So if you guys have a couple more questions, let's go ahead and get them in #RHAP or even in the chat room. We'll answer your questions about the episode. But this was kind of a much more straightforward episode than last week's, where we had a lot of different things to sink our teeth into.
Yeah, I mean, we had the order switching up a bunch of times, but other than that, it was just kind of meh.
Yeah. Okay. Do we know where the race is headed next week, Jess?
I'm not sure. They might be sticking around the Philippines for one more leg, or they might be heading back towards North America.
Okay. So then do we expect one more location and then we'll go back to the US? Any rumors on what city they're headed to for the final leg?
You know, I feel like I knew this, but I don't remember.
Okay. All right. So we'll see exactly.
I think I saw the route and I saw Philippines and I was like, oh my God, it's the ox. And that was it.
That was it. All right. Anyway, so Jess, do you have a hashtag for this episode of The Amazing Race for Hap Up?
Hashtag heed the gnome.
Heed the gnome. Yes. Stop and smell the roses. All right. So Nick Fishman is asking, is this a top five closest finish, Jess?
Yeah, it's up there. I mean, I can't like think of every single close finish off the top of my head, but there have been even final mat finishes that were about that close. This was, you don't often see every single team left in the race standing in one line at the finish line.
Have you given any thought to what you're going to blog about this week, Jess?
I haven't yet. I think maybe we might go with the theme of like putting all the pieces in place to set it up for the final confrontation.
Okay. All right. Well, Jess, very much looking forward to getting back together next Friday when we get down to the final three teams. This is going to be a lot of fun, I think, this final 2 weeks.
I think so. I think we're in for a finale that lives up to the rest of the season.
That will live up to the hype. By the way, then next a week from Monday, I will talk to the final four, one of these final four teams on our exit interview. And then what we'll do is the Monday after that, I believe that's going to be December 21st. December 22nd, Monday, December 22nd. Assuming that there's no curveball from CBS, we'll talk to the final three teams on our Amazing Race exit interviews. And if you haven't listened to my interview with Kim and Allie, that's also up on robhasawebsite.com. So a lot to do, Jess.
It is a lot to do. And I am hustling hard. I would really like to get a topical ex-racer to talk about this past episode, and I'm working hard on it, guys. So trust me, I'm not snoozing on the rehab up front, and hopefully I'll have someone for you early next week.
Okay. Jess is not snoozing, everybody.
No, I'm wide awake.
Wide awake. We're wide awake. All right. Thanks for staying up with us and talk about amazing race here on a Friday night. Have a great weekend, everybody. We've got so much coming up. If you missed it on Thursday night or on Friday, I posted the longest podcast in the history of Rob Has a Podcast, Jess.
Yeah, I know. I got about 2 hours into it today.
You've barely scratched the surface.
There's only so much Tyson I can take at one time.
Yes. Well, that is tough. You got to sort of like pace yourself with the Tyson cast.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, a over 4 hour podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 hours and 12 minutes, I think it was.
Jess, I was so mad after I got done with the podcast with Tyson. Then I came out and I was like talking to Nicole. And I was like, oh my God, I have so much that I still have to do tonight before I go to bed. And it was like 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, I have to post the podcast and make the graphics and do everything. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get it all done tonight. And she's like, well, you did it to yourself. It's like, why do you have to say that? Why can't you just say, oh, well, you'll get it. You do it every week. You'll get it done. She said, oh, you had to do a 4 hour podcast.
Yeah, well, she sounds a lot like my spouse on Friday nights.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got to do the podcast. Then I got to write some columns. He's like, okay, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Like, well, you didn't have to do this. Come on.
No, it's a hard life that we choose, Rob.
I did have to do this. I did have to. I've been called upon by Rob Has a Planet to talk to Tyson for 4 hours.
That's true. That's true.
That's right. All right. So, you know, they got no accolades from Nicole on breaking the record. She said it was a zero earbud 4 hour podcast.
Oh man.
What are you going to do?
Zero earbuds. That's the worst.
Zero earbuds. All right, Jess, great job again. Looking forward to talking about the home stretch with you. Should be a very, very fun end to a fun season of Amazing Race. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
One race to rule them all, one race around the world, from the city to the sea, thanks to Travelocity. After you've crossed the finish, man, one place left after that, there must be somewhere you can go. They're gonna take you around the world, around the world, around. Right.